All right, so this interview with Steve Bannon, interviewed by Zanny Minton-Bedos of The Economist, which is a solidly, you know, pro-status quo publication. But I assume that most people listening to this interview will be as concerned as I was when I first heard it.
He's going to get a third term. So Trump 28, Trump is going to be president 28. And people just ought to get accommodated with that.
So what about the 22nd Amendment?
There's many different alternatives. At the appropriate time, we'll lay out what the plan is. But there's a plan. We had longer odds in 16 and longer odds in 24 than we got in 28. And President Trump will be the president of the United States. And the country needs him to be president of the United States. We have to finish what we started. Trump is a vehicle. I know this will drive you guys crazy, but he's a vehicle of divine providence. He's an instrument. He's very imperfect. He's not churchy, not particularly religious, but he's an instrument of divine will. And you can tell this of how he's pulled this off. We need him for at least one more term, right? And he'll get that in 28.
You're not driving me crazy. I'm really I'm trying to understand the coherence of the things you've just told me. On the one hand, you've said the Constitution is fit for purpose. Secondly, you've said that President Trump needs another term, even though the 22nd Amendment makes pretty clear that he cannot have another term.
Why does it make that clear?
Because he's on his second term already.
At some point in time, we will make sure we go through Zanny and define all those terms.
But you will be undermining the spirit of that amendment, even if you find some way around it.
If the American people, with the mechanisms we have, put Trump back in office, are the American people tearing up the Constitution? Would that be tearing up? Would the American people be going against the spirit of the Constitution, ma'am?
I think yes, actually, because what you will end up with is a populist justification for a quasi-dictatorship.
That's not true at all. A dictatorship. Did you just see the compromises he had to make on the Big Beautiful Bill? You see the compromises he has to do on everything, on accommodating Zelensky, on what President Trump? President Trump is nothing but a series of negotiations to kind of keep this thing rolling forward, where he's having trade-offs all the time.
Telling me we have to smash the other side. There's no room for debate. There's no room for compromise. We must smash them. And now you're telling me this is a negotiation. I mean, that's...
No.
I guess that's why it seems to me some kind of tension
there. First off, the only way President Trump wins in 2028 and continues to stay in office is by the will of the American people, okay? And the will of the American people is what the Constitution embodies. And so I think we're going to be in good hands there. We need to finish what we started.
So I don't know how that is anything other than just extremely frightening. I mean, the will of the American people, and that's basically the will of Trump. Trump clearly, yes, he absolutely wants to be president/dictator until he dies. I mean, he's in this for the long haul. Yeah, they're going to try to find a way to ignore the provision on limiting presidential terms to two. But we've already got all these mechanisms in place to undercut the will of the American people. Citizens United, where unlimited spending by billionaires can basically determine election outcomes. You know, how is that consistent with the will of the American people? How is gerrymandering consistent with the will of the American people when you cut up districts so that you only get certain outcomes, predictable outcomes? You know, what about restrictions on regarding voting identification? You can use a military ID, but you can't use a college ID. I mean, it depends. It's different from state to state. But the bottom line is there are all these ways being put in place to keep the will of the American people from truly being realized. The Electoral College, which again goes way back. But how is that consistent with the will of the American people when you give undue precedence to a certain constituency and at the expense of the majority? You know, cutting back when polls are open, restrictions on early voting. There's a long list of ways in which, quote, the will of the American people are already being corrupted. And if you want to take it a step further and elect a president for a third time, and we had FDR serve three terms, or he tried to serve three terms before he died in the third one. But the You know, we fixed that. We changed the Constitution so that wouldn't happen again. And now we have a guy who thinks this should happen again, but for a totally different reason. I think Republicans know that their trifecta is in trouble. And so they are trying to do everything possible to make sure that the 2026 election goes Trump's way. And that will give them the power they need to make sure he's president and, you know, reelected in 2028. And at that point, I'm going to put the word election in quotes because it's really not an election anymore. It's a coronation, as we see in Putin, in Russia with Putin, as we see in China with Xi. You know, I mean, is that where we're heading? Are we becoming one of these countries that just, you know, goes ahead with the leader? And really does away with any legitimate elections. So right now, though, there's a process underway, and I think most people are probably familiar with it by this point, of mid-decade gerrymandering, started by Texas. And, you know, this came at a very inopportune time because there were states like California, and there were other states too, but California in particular had created an independent redistricting commission. They agreed to redraw congressional maps more fairly. And then in 2020, Virginia did the same. It was Virginia that did the same thing. They did it through a vote of the people. And so now because of what Texas has done, both states are like, well, we're gonna play this game and try to carve out Democratic districts. So I think close to a third or half of the states are trying to do this now. Florida, Louisiana and Kansas are all going hog wild and trying to make sure they've got Republican districts, new ones created. I think Ohio may try it as well. Indiana has been pressured by the president and the administration to also carve out a new Republican district. To their credit, to the credit of Republicans in Indiana, they're saying, no, we're not going to go there. So that's a small victory there. But it's a race to the bottom here, and it's hard to say how it's going to come out. I mean, California could create five new Democratic districts. When I say new, I don't mean new congressional districts. I mean taking enough votes away from five current Republican districts where Democrats have a much better chance to win them. Republicans know that they've got a tough row to hoe this year, in 2026, I should say. And so they're trying everything they can, but it might backfire. One state that has, I think, the gold standard in terms of redistricting is Iowa. We've had that since 1981. It's done by a nonpartisan process. The Legislative Services Bureau puts together the map, and I know the guy personally who's done that for the last three elections. I worked with him when I was up there. And they do a really, really good, fair job. And the Constitution of Iowa says you have to follow county lines. You have to also try to achieve as balanced a population in each of the, now we have four districts, as possible. And that's tough to do, you know. You can't consider political considerations. You can't consider where current lawmakers live. And so, you know, for example, when redistricting occurred in 2002, I was put into a district where I lost about 70% of my old district. So I can tell you for sure, there was no political consideration in that at all. It's just the way it came out. I was able to win anyhow, but, you know, oftentimes you get situations where two lawmakers of the same party are put into the same district, and that gets fun and interesting. But it's fair. It's done based on shifts in population. They start on one corner of the state, build it out, again, following county lines. And if you look at our map, I mean, if you look at a map from North Carolina, which is one of the worst states, or Delaware on the Democratic side, or Illinois, there are offenders on both sides of the aisle. If you look at some of those states that are heavily gerrymandered, those districts are ridiculous. They look comical. You look at Iowa's map, it's like four blocks, boom, 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 north, northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast. It's very logical, and it makes it more competitive. Now, there's some concern here that Republicans, again, Republicans have the trifecta in Iowa. They might try to change the redistricting law to make it easier for Republicans to win. Now, you might look at that and say, well, that's silly. The Republicans already control all four seats in the U.S. Congress in Iowa. Well, there are three of them that are competitive. And right now, there are districts. Remember, there used to be three Democrats, not that long ago, three Democrats and one Republican in Iowa in terms of the congressional delegation. That could easily go back that way, especially this year. You know, it's always the case where in the off year of a presidential term, the party not in power is the one that's likely to gain seats. And so while you have states all over the country that are gerrymandering themselves to death and creating basically a blue state or a red state, Iowa remains, in theory, a purple state. And you could see this, you could see these three districts that are currently held by Republicans going Democrat. Now, again, I think Republicans here are aware of that. They're probably getting pressure from the Trump administration to consider ways in which they can make sure that those districts are more Republican friendly. And I've looked into this a bit, I've thought about it a lot, and I think it's very possible that they might take a shot at it this session, but let me say it's possible, but probably a long shot, because the redistricting process is legislative. It's based on legislation, so it could be changed in one session, but it would still have to comply with provisions of the Constitution that require following county lines, that require getting a balanced, you know, population. But there is one, you know, I hope no Republican legislators are listening to this conversation, or honestly, maybe they've already thought about this, but you could take a district that runs from Des Moines, Polk County, and go four counties to the east, Jasper, Powashik, Iowa, and then Johnson County, which is very, very Democratic. Johnson County is Iowa City. And then go one county north to Lynn, and that would create a solidly blue district. You would just concede, Republicans would concede that that will always be a blue district. And the rest of the state in that case would have a more significant Republican tilt. That again, that the problem there is you've got a district now that has 971,000 people, and for the most part, districts right now are about 800,000 people in each Iowa congressional district. So that puts it quite a bit over the balance required in the Constitution. But again, with all the games being played by politicians, especially on the Republican side, they may try to find a way to get out of that. We'll see. So this really comes at a terrible time because, again, I want to praise California and Virginia for trying to create a redistricting process that is more fair, that is less prone to political manipulation. And I would love to see that become the law of the land across the country. Again, I don't always praise Iowa. We have one of the highest cancer rates in the country. We have some of the worst water in the country. We have lots of problems. We have a great redistricting process. It might hold, but I'm concerned that as Republicans look at how they're going to hold on to the House, and they see more and more states that are led by Democratic legislatures, more and more Democratic-led states trying to create their own new maps as a way to balance out what's happening in Texas and Florida and elsewhere, that in the end you might get an equal a balance of new districts that are pretty much the same as they are now in terms of the number of districts that lean Republican and Democrat. What you'll have, though, is states that are so solidly Republican or Democrat that, yeah, you'll only further the division in this country. Trump talks about Democratic cities, Democratic agencies, Democratic programs. Well, if this keeps going the way it is, you will have more quote, Democratic or more Republican communities throughout the nation. Again, I hope Iowa's system holds. There was some muttering about changing it a couple of years ago, but I think it's probably going to hold, although I won't be surprised to see some Yahoo try to change it. And I won't be surprised if there's pressure coming from Washington, D.C. to do that. So So, yeah. And all this comes down to one thing, folks. It comes down to what Steve Bannon said earlier, Trump's third term. Or I think what he said was at least his third term. I mean, Bannon sees Trump as continuing to move forward. I mean, until he dies, I guess, or until he appoints a successor. Who's that going to be? J.D. Vance? Maybe one of his kids? I don't know. So I want to play this clip for you one more time because I want it to stick in because it is truly horrifying. And it is where I think this administration wants to head and where we need to push back against. Here it is one more time. And then after that, I'm going out to a break. I'll be back shortly after that.
He's going to get a third term. So Trump 28, Trump is going to be president in 28. And people just ought to get accommodated with that.
So what about the 22nd Amendment?
There's many different alternatives. At the appropriate time, we'll lay out what the plan is. But there's a plan. We had longer odds in 16 and longer odds in 24 than we got in 28. And President Trump will be the president of the United States. And the country needs him to be president of the United States. We have to finish what we started. Trump is a vehicle. I know this will drive you guys crazy, but he's a vehicle of divine providence. He's an instrument. He's very imperfect. He's not churchy, not particularly religious, but he's an instrument of divine will. And you can tell this of how he's pulled this off. We need him for at least one more term, right? And he'll get that in 28.
You're not driving me crazy. I'm really I'm trying to understand the coherence of the things you've just told me. On the one hand, you've said the Constitution is fit for purpose. Secondly, you've said that President Trump needs another term, even though the 22nd Amendment makes pretty clear that he cannot have another term.
Why does it make that clear?
Because he's on his second term already.
At some point in time, we will make sure we go through Zanny and define all those terms.
But you will be undermining the spirit of that amendment, even if you find some way around it.
If the American people, with the mechanisms we have, put Trump back in office, are the American people tearing up the Constitution? Would that be tearing up? Would the American people be going against the spirit of the Constitution, ma'am?
I think yes, actually, because what you will end up with is a populist justification for a quasi-dictatorship.
That's not true at all. Trump is a dictatorship. Did you just see the compromises he had to make on the big, beautiful bill? You see the compromises he has to do on everything, on accommodating Zelensky, on what President Trump? President Trump is nothing but a series of negotiations to kind of keep this thing rolling forward, where he's having trade-offs all the time.
Steve, you've just spent the last 20 minutes telling me we have to smash the other side. There's no room for debate. There's no room for compromise. We must smash them. And now you're telling me this is a negotiation. I mean, that's...
No.
I guess that's why it seems to me some kind of tension
there. First off, the only way President Trump wins in 2028 and continues to stay in office is by the will of the American people, okay? And the will of the American people is what the Constitution embodies. And so I think we're going to be in good hands there. We need to finish what we started.